In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We too often think of our faith in very rigorously legalistic terms. That Christianity in general is a series of do's and do nots. And of course, if you look through the Gospels, if you look into the Old Testament, you could get that idea fairly easily. The commandments themselves are very much along that line. But we would be gravely mistaken if we assumed that once we get into the new dispensation, that somehow it is simply a matter of obeying certain rules and avoiding certain activities that the Lord has proscribed. Because that's not it at all. If you will look carefully at the New Testament, you will see this one word, come, that is often uttered many times by the Lord. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, O blessed of my Father. And there are many, many others that are all invitational, that are wanting to bring us into something, that are inviting us to partake of something. And by partaking of this great banquet that we hear about in the gospel today, we are, in fact, obeying all of these other commandments. It's often hard to think of it in those terms, but it's very, very important that we do. Because you see, there's a reason that the church appoints this particular gospel pericope today on the Sunday of the Holy Forefathers. There is a reason, because the messianic banquet is just about to appear to us in a matter of days. Christ becomes incarnate. Christ comes to us and invites the whole world to the manger, invites the whole world to partake of the salvation that comes with him. And in this great invitation we get, we also understand from this gospel today that there are certain other things that seem to get in the way that are major excuses on our part. The Lord lists land that was bought, oxen that were acquired, and a wife that was married. And so what does this really mean? We're talking about three things that are very important in all of our lives. Property is one, work is another, and finally, family. And the Lord is telling us today that none of these is an excuse to not follow Him. None of these things is an excuse to ignore the things that go on in the church year-round, not just now. Because He sets it before us and says, look, here's what's happening. You've got land, and so please excuse me. And I've got oxen, so I've got things to do. Please excuse me. Well, I just got married, so please excuse me. And the Lord's saying that, no, that's not enough. In fact, He not only invites us once, He invited us twice. He first of all sent out the invitation to everyone and then made the announcement when the day was upon us, as if to remind them. And then all the excuses begin to get made. And if we look into ourselves, we see that there's even more excuses that we give in our own lives that are lesser than the ones that are given in this gospel. Some of the things that we will excuse ourselves from church attendance or from prayer or from helping someone else are so completely mundane as to almost be unbelievable. All of you know this. All of you know that when you begin to pray, all of a sudden, there's a thousand things that come to your mind that you've got to do. There's so many that are in the way that you forgot to do, that you were planning on doing, that, well, perhaps the prayer can wait. I really need to go get that casserole in the oven. Or wait a minute, I left something at work. I've got to go back and do that. Or, well, you know, there was this great show on TV tonight, and it's happening at the time I usually like to pray, so I can't mess with that now. I've got to go watch this show. There are thousands like this. And that's why the Lord is presenting this parable to us today, to say, look, you have to make a choice. You have received the invitation. It's given to you free of charge. You were reminded when the time has come, free of charge, and yet you're asking to be excused. And there's consequences to avoiding the invitation. Everyone here knows that if someone asks you to do something at the same time every year, and you keep giving excuses as to why you can't do it, why you can't come to their party, why you can't meet with them, whatever it is, that eventually they'll stop asking. Well, the Lord in this case is saying, this is a one-chance deal. This is the invitation. And if you don't want to do it, well, there's others that I'm going to ask instead. And he lists the blind and the maimed and all other sorts of physical problems for people that back then were considered cursed because of the way they were in this world for whatever reason. We wouldn't think that today, but they did back then. And the Lord is saying, look, I'm not saying that these people are bad. You are. But I'm saying that I'm going to bring them to the banquet when you won't come. Of course, this also has different meanings. We know that the Jews at the time and the Pharisees, he was talking to them. He was saying, look, you had the ticket. You had the original invitation to come to this messianic banquet, but now you're turning away from it. You're not recognizing who I am. So therefore, I'm going to bring in all those people that you think are underneath you, that are beneath you. And of course, referring to the Gentiles and even to the pagans. So it's important for us to realize this, that this is a great and holy calling that we have, that this is something that is so magnificent, this invitation to this messianic banquet, that we dare not let anything get in the way. That banquet begins today during the Eucharist. In the larger scheme of things, that banquet begins on the 25th of December when the Lord comes to become incarnate among us. And in another sense, that banquet continues at Pascha when St. John Chrysostom's beautiful sermon says, let no one, even who comes in at the 11th hour, feel that they are missing anything, but everybody feast sumptuously. We hear that word too a lot in the New Testament, feast. The joy of feasting at the Master's table. The joy of being in the upper room on Holy Thursday when the Eucharist is inaugurated. The joy of being with the Lord after He has risen from the dead, when He eats among them to show that He's not just a ghost. These are all images that have profound meaning in our lives that He is asking us to come to. Now think of this. This is the God who created everything. Everything that you see. Gaze out into the universe at night. Everything that is out there as far as the eye can see and as far as the eye cannot see was given to us by God. He is the creator of the universe. And yet, in a few days He comes among us, born in a manger inside a cave, taking on our human nature so that not only can He perfect it by assuming it, but because He wants to walk among us as we are. That's how much He loves us. That's how much He cares for us. That's why He's continually issuing the invitation to come to Him at all times. God's coming to all of us. We can choose to ignore Him. We can choose to turn away from Him. We can choose to be disobedient to Him, because that's the privilege that He has given to all of us. But we also have to understand that by choosing to turn away from Him, we're choosing something far darker in our own lives that we don't want to deal with. We don't want to choose the side of death and decay and destruction, especially when there's someone there who's inviting us to his table to partake of the life that he gives us. The holy forefathers that we commemorate today, all those of the old times from Adam forward, were also those who were invited to this wonderful banquet. But yet even they, in all their magnificence and in all their glory and in all their saintliness, did not have what we have with us today. They longed to see it. They desperately wanted to partake of it, but yet they only could partake of part of it. Now, of course, in the Lord's heavenly kingdom, it is realized among them. But what we have been given is far, far greater. Understand, if I could get just one thing for everyone to understand today, it would be this: that the Lord's image in you is precisely that. It is the Lord's image. It is His gift of Himself that animates you, that is part and parcel of you, both physically and spiritually. This Lord who's going to become incarnate for us, we are made in the image of that baby who is going to be laid in that manger. There is no greater gift that God could possibly give any one of us. So realize your dignity. Realize the holiness that He's calling everyone to. Realize the invitation that He wants you to come and become part of Him for all eternity. If that's not a cause for joy, I don't know what is. It's a wonderful thing. Just take it to heart. Respond to His love so that we can all be seated at His heavenly table. Amen.